Bible with me tonight, I'd like you to go over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 20. We're going to be going around a little bit in the book of Isaiah, then we'll meander our way over to the New Testament. But I'd like to show you something tonight. God's laid it on my heart. Isaiah, if you've ever read through, you find Isaiah, he's during the time of Amos and some of the other minor prophets. And during that time, he went through a couple different kings that were reigning. We start off with Uzziah, is when Isaiah first starts coming onto scene. And then he goes through a couple others. Some known ones are King Hezekiah, one of the godliest kings that was on Israel's side. But let's get right into it. We're going to read the whole chapter tonight. Just a quick read, 6 verses. But if you would stand with me for the reading of God's holy word. We'll start Isaiah chapter 20. And it says, "In the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it, at the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, Go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, Like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners, and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. And they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and of Egypt their glory. And the inhabitant of the isle shall say in that day, Behold, such is our expectation, whither we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and how shall we escape?" Let's pray and ask God to meet with us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you meet with us, Father. We ask that you take me out of the picture, Lord. As it's all about your spirit, Father, that's why we meet together, that's why we come together, that's why we open up your word, Father, for your spirit to speak to us, Father. We know that foolishness, the preaching is foolishness, Lord, there's nothing that'll come of it, but Father, through your spirit, we can learn, through your spirit, we can be moved, Father, through your spirit, everything is possible. We ask for your spirit to meet with us tonight, Father, in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So, really quick, as I was reading this, and this was actually one of my daily readings, and I've just been going through the book of Isaiah, and something kind of just popped out to me, because as I'm reading here, I'm reading that, okay, God's asking Isaiah here to do something that we would say we don't want to do, or something that would not be, what's the right word, would not be our choice, but it would not be our choice to walk around naked for 3 years, is what God specifically told Isaiah to do. We don't see Isaiah here mouthing back to God and saying, God, I don't want to do that. That's going to be shameful. That's going to be a reproach. That's going to be something that is unpleasant. We don't see Isaiah saying that here. We see Isaiah, and what he's doing, he does exactly what God says.
Amen.
No questions asked, no retort, no remarks made. He does what God asks. And I was just kind of thinking about it. I was thinking, well, what if in our lives God came to us and asked to do the same thing? Now, I was trying to compare from modern time now to back in the biblical time, and I was talking, and I kind of discussed a little bit with my wife, and we talked about it. And at first, the topic that came up was decency. And back in that age, the decency was a little bit different. But then I started reading through, and I found out the decency back then is the same as right now. Because if you look back here, it says that God told him for 3 years, walk around naked. And it says, in verse number 5, at the end of verse number 4, it says, to the shame of Egypt, because it's talking about walking around naked. And verse 5 says, and they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and of Egypt, their glory. He's saying it's something shameful. The reason God had him do this, though, was so that he could show what is going on here. He used Isaiah, but Isaiah let him. Because Isaiah did not buck. Isaiah did not fight. Isaiah went through it. And I'd like to call your attention to something, because a lot of times there are different times in our lives that we can serve God, but we choose not to. Mm-hmm. Or we can serve God, but what God's asking for at this time, I don't want to do. I don't want to bring myself under God's rule at this time because I want to do my own thing.
Mm.
But if you look back in verse number four is actually the text verse that I'm going to use tonight. And I'm going to bounce off just three simple times that we can serve God. It says, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopian captives, young and old. Young and old. I like to start with that point of young and old. You can serve God when you're young, and you can serve God when you're old. There is not a time that you cannot serve God. There is not a time that God says you're not allowed to serve me. There's not a time. But I want to point out that young and old, you can serve God. You can serve God while you're young. It says actually over in Isaiah chapter 49, I'm going to go over there really quick. Isaiah 49, verse number 1 says, verse number 1 and 2, it says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb." Okay, we're talking about very young. "From the womb, from the bowels of my mother, hath he made mention of my name." Specifically, he called me. "And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me." What he's saying here is he's saying that God specifically said, when I was young, before I even had the opportunity to think for myself, when I was still in the womb and God was still forming me, because we read through that God forms me in the belly. And God was still forming me. He still had something for me at a young age. But I don't want to discount it, because we look at there. It's not just when we're young, but also when we're old. We have the opportunities to serve God. We have the opportunity to go to church when we're young, when we're going with our parents. But when we get old, we have the opportunity to go to church on our own. Mm-hmm. And we choose to keep serving God. We make that conscious choice. And what Isaiah is saying here is he's saying that, hey, I was called young. Yes, I know God called me at a very young age. But you know, I'm still serving him, even when I'm old. Because he's still growing. He's growing just like all of us. But he's still serving. And he's still doing. Even though he was called young, he's still doing it while he's old. He hasn't stopped. He's when he started, and he's continued. And that's just the first thing that I see is we can serve God when we're young and old. It doesn't matter at what time in our life, we can still serve God. But if you take a look back at Isaiah 20, verse 4, it says young and old, but then it also says naked and barefoot. And so I was trying to think of another time when we could serve God, and God put this thought in my head: is we can serve God when we're clothed and unclothed. Now let me go back, because clothing. Okay, I looked this up because I wanted to see what is actually being said, what I'm trying to say here. And clothing is a certain material. Okay, so I looked that up. I was like, okay, it's a certain material. But what is the act of clothe? Clothe is when you put that certain material upon something. Okay. Then I looked at some similar words, and there was a similar word to being clothed, and that similar word is cover. And cover, the definition I actually wrote down, it says, put something on top of in order to protect or conceal it.
Yeah.
To protect or conceal it. And I want to say here that we can serve God when we're clothed or when we're unclothed. At the times when we don't have anything, when there is nothing, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, we don't know how we're going to pay our bills for the next month, for the next day, we can still serve God at that time. Yeah. But you know, we can also serve God when we're fully clothed, when we are taken care of, when every aspect is taken care of. We have the money to pay the bills. We have the money. We have the gas money so we can come to church. When we have those things, we can still serve God. And there's a lot of times when we have those things that we don't want to serve God now. Now that, yes, we're taken care of, but you know, I've got something better. Or I've got something more important than being at church. I've got something more important that I have to take care of than being in the house of God with God's people. Come on. And a lot of times that's what will happen is we'll think, okay, well, we're taken care of, so it's okay. But take a look with me at Isaiah chapter 49. Same one. I'm going to reference this one a couple different times. And verse 14 and 15, it says, 14 says, "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." And a question is posed here. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God's specifically speaking here, and he's saying, I'm not going to forget you. He's specifically saying that, okay, I can attest to this because I have a child. When that child needs to eat, I don't feed the child. But when the child needs to eat, the child will scream. Mm-hmm. And as that child's screaming, that's the indication that, okay, it's time to feed the child. But, you know, just like this question is posing here, can a woman forget her sucking child? Can a woman forget that she has a child right in her laps, in her arms? She can't. Right. Because what the Bible's saying is, it's right there, it's right in the open, it's something that you know for sure. And that's why God concludes the verse with, yea, they may forget, saying, okay, they might, yet will I not forget thee. So now let's put that into perspective. What God is saying is, they are holding that baby. They are holding that baby, and that baby is eating. But, okay, they might forget. But I won't. God says, I'm never forgetting. I'm never going to forget you. I'm never going to forget you, no matter what. And that's why when we're clothed and when we're unclothed, when we have what we need and when we don't have what we need, God still remembers us. God doesn't forget us. God doesn't leave us out. God says, I will still remember you when you have everything you need and when you don't. I'm never going to forget you. There's never going to be a time where you're up on the mountain and I'm going to forget you. But there's also never going to be a time when you're in the valley and you don't see the next, you can't see the next step that you're supposed to take. God says, I'm always going to be with you, no matter what. Whether you're, when you're clothed and when you're unclothed. And the final thing I have here says right here, to the shame of Egypt, back in verse number 20. And I just want to point out, God's going to be with us, and we can still serve God when we're young and rural. We can still serve God when we're clothed or when we're unclothed. But I want to say, we can still serve God when we're persecuted or when we're not persecuted. Over in the same chapter 49 that I've been going to, verse 25 and 26 says, "But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. And I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." I want to say that we can serve God when we're being persecuted or when we're not being persecuted, because he's with us. He's always with us. I'm just going to turn there for the sake of time. But over in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 10 through 12, it says, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." God's saying, he's making a parallel. He's saying, yes, you're going to be persecuted, But don't count it as something wrong. Don't count it as something
right.
that is going to ruin you or going to put you down in the ground, that's gonna stop you, that's going to stop you from serving God. But rather, remember, there were greater men before you. There was a king back in the Old Testament, I recall. He was the second king made, and there was the king that was called by God. First king was Saul. He was called by man because God's people wanted a man because they could not see Christ. Because they could not see the Father. They could not convene one-on-one with the Father, so they wanted a man. They wanted to be like everyone else. We want a man, so they anointed King Saul. But the second king was anointed, and he was anointed by God. That's King David. We know stories, many stories, David and Goliath, we know many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But my simple point that I just want to make tonight, and I'll get there, is there's times in our lives that we can serve God. When we're out, when we're old, when we're clothed, when we're unclothed, when we're being persecuted, and when we're not, when people aren't yelling at us, when people aren't making fun of us for serving Christ. But you know, the real question is this. Will you serve God? Will you serve God regardless of what he asks you to do? Isaiah was asked, Isaiah, I want you to walk around 3 years, no clothes at all, in front of people. I want them to see something. I want them to see that you will do what I ask. That you will serve me and only me. Oh, you want an invitation? That's my bad.